kind of lift.
Yeah, that was a campaign promise. What about 3 weeks? Right about 2.5, 3 weeks into the war, when we first started the ground war, that they voted to cut $18.9 billion in direct cuts and $28.7 billion in overall cuts to the VA budget over 5 years.
Yeah, well, and that's my point is that, I don't know what the statics are, the statistics are, or any of this other stuff. All I know is, the common sense reality is that we have soldiers that, from every war, that are going to the VA and can't get the help that they need. They cannot get, they may not be able to get the help that they need, but they're being made to have to jump through hoops to get the help that they need. There's so much ticker tape, red ticker tape, to getting the help that they need, that it's just gotten ridiculous for them to be able to get the help. Post-traumatic stress disorder, it is defined in many ways as stressors, but the VA says, in order to be able to get the post-traumatic stress disorder, you have to have it verified and documented that you have a verifiable stressor. Well, wait a minute. You have thousands of troops that are serving in Iraq. Every freaking person in government knows, hello,
right.
knock on the door, that any soldier that has went into Iraq is facing some kind of hostility, and it even states on the DD-214 that you were in imminent danger, you received hostile fire pay, you received imminent danger pay. The two things alone states, you're in a situation and in a hotbed that should help you to be able to receive post-traumatic stress disorder. But then again, wait a minute, you've got people that have college degrees that are wearing suits and ties, sitting behind a desk, and are nothing but pencil-pushing, pencil-neck geeks that don't have no clue what it actually means to hold a rifle and to get out there and to put your life on the line so that when the soldier comes back home without a leg, without an arm, all mentally messed up because, they had 7.5 months of sitting in a base to where every day they were shot at with mortar rounds because the insurgents didn't want them to have they didn't want them to have that base. They want their country back. But yet the soldier has to come back home and prove, I've got post-traumatic stress disorder. My marriage has fallen apart. I can't get my job back. I've been hurt some sort of fashion or some sort of way, and we can't even support the troops when they come back home. We as a country just wanted to send our troops overseas, but we can't support them when we come back. We got to sit here and bicker day in and day out about the laws and regulations. Oh, are you a conservative? Are you a Republican? Are you a liberal? Or are you this?
Right.
What difference does it make? What says, we got compassion. Where in the hell is the compassion? Where is it?
Yeah, I don't see a lot.
There is no compassion for the American soldier.
Now, when you're going to the VA yourself, how many guys do you see right there that are having problems getting into treatment just with what you see?
It's a constant battle. I see it every time I go in there. I don't always see it, but I go through it myself.
Yeah, you're going through it yourself. I mean, you're an expert. If we want to go by the definition of what an expert is, you're an expert on how hard it is to get, both your benefits and then back to normal life, But I mean, on an average though, how many percent of the soldiers do you see that are having treatment difficulties?
100%.
They're all having problems now then. It's not just an isolated incident like the VA keeps saying.
It's 100% because when you got VAs that are closing the life support units that we need, they're trying to close the life support unit in Tuskegee, and send it down to down to Montgomery. Well, somebody that lives in Opelika, Alabama, you know, will have to go to the local hospital, you know, to get any kind of treatment. And here's another thing. You know, the VA makes it so difficult that if you live 60 miles away, you can't get to the main VA hospital when you're having a heart attack or a critical need. Well, then you go to the hospital, and then you have to call to get, you have to call an 800 number when you get to that hospital to get admitted to, into the hospital to get treated.
Yeah.
You first get there. Now, what sense does it make? You go to a hospital, you're having a heart attack, or you're having some serious kind of problem. You got to say, oh, wait a minute, hold on to the heart attack. I've got to call VA. I have got to get the VA to tell the hospital, yes, we're going to go ahead and take care of this. This is service-connected. Hold on, heart attack, because I got to do this. I got to put it on hold before I can get any kind of medical treatment. You know, wait a minute. I don't think that the heart attack is by sitting there in the wait. Well, then to turn around and to find out, you know, after you've been in, you've been treated and whatnot, that if you don't call the VA, then you got to turn around and pay that bill out of your pocket. So it could figure out to anywhere $1,000 to $10,000 if you didn't call the VA and request to be admitted into the emergency room or to be seen by the emergency room. What if the difference does that make? Now, Sean Hannity, tell me that. Tell me about a veteran that needs to get into the hospital right away, but can't do it because of the rules and the regulations. You know, I have a term that I really wish I could say over the radio, or I really wish I could say on this message, and I'm going to reserve myself for a time better suited. But, you know, where is the rights that people have on this? I mean, it befuddles me to know that here again, we've got political commentators that are liberal and Republican, liberal and Republican or Democrat or whatever you want to freaking call them. They're sitting up and saying, oh, well, I need to know what is your affiliate status. How did you vote? Well, I don't think it's going to make a freaking bit of difference to that veteran that's sitting in the hospital needing help of how somebody voted and how they didn't vote.
Right, and, you know, and I see, like, well, with what the, you know, experiences you've had, you know, and you talked about in the other interview, you know, this thing changed your complete background to the point where you're opposed to the war. And I mean, that should speak volumes to people out there who don't really get what goes on. You know, how can somebody come back and deny, you know, and say that we need to pull out of there? Well, you've given a good example, you know, of overall how it happens. And I've heard this from at least, I think I've interviewed 35 people now, and about 30 of them have come back firmly, absolutely opposed to the war, and no matter where they stand politically, they've changed 180 degrees and been like, wait a minute, this is a mistake.
Well, let me say this, you know, before I left to go to war, before I left and volunteered to go to the war, I was a big Sean Hannity fan. I really was. I was a real big Sean Hannity fan. I hated the liberals. I hated, you know, I couldn't stand what they, you know, what they had stood for and all of this other stuff, you know. And I wasn't a liberal. I wasn't a Republican, you know. I was straight down the middle. But, you know, I liked the fact of, you know, what they were bringing about, you know, what they were showing and things of that nature, you know. And it's kind of funny how war will change a person's view. But I really was a big Rush Limbaugh fan. I was a Sean Hannity fan. You know, G. Gordon Liddy. I still like G. Gordon Liddy. He puts out some of the good tweets and whatnot, you know. But, you know, you got some of these people up there that all they're doing is fueling the fire. When I come back from the war, I went back to listening to Sean Hannity. I went back to listening to Rush Limbaugh. When I got my XM satellite radio, I went back to listening to some of these talk shows. And I got to sit there thinking about it, you know. I shut them all off. I shut every single one of them off and started reevaluating who I was as a human being, as a person that was born in the United States of America to volunteer radio off and started taking a look at myself deep down inside without lying to myself and started taking a look at really what was going on in this country, you know, then that's where I started really realizing that people like Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, and some of these others, that they've got the right to be up there. They earned their right to be there. I don't badmouth them on that. They've got their right to be there if they want to be there. That's fine. But the thing of it is, you know what? We need to stop. We need to stop the arguing and the bickering. And we need to start thinking logically. Not book smart, not any other way. We need to think logically about what this is doing to people's lives. We need to do things like close our borders for the time being and start looking at withdrawal every single one of our troops, close the borders, take care of America for a time frame. You know, there's a time and season for everything, mm-hmm. You know, and we need to deal with the poverty in our country. How many vets do we have out on the streets that are living on the streets in poverty because they don't have somebody there to help them?
I'd say right now from the National Homeless Vet Center, they'd say 35,000 to 40,000 that are just from the last conflict, Iraq and Afghanistan, and probably another... Oh, a good 10 million that have served in other wars. So we're looking at over 10 million vets wandering around on the streets with no help or, you know, any compassion whatsoever, you know.
And let me